You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
On WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Joining us today in the studio, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, Ron. Good morning.
Good morning.
The group. Thursday, 1/25/24. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, that is a rebroadcast on Saturday. And you can actually text on Saturdays if you do have a question of a financial nature, and or call in today, Thursday, if you would, Ron, those numbers, please.
You can contact us on the Text-O-Matic line at 833-728-1140, 833-728-1140, and call on the old-fashioned telephone at 231-947-0023.
Awesome. As always, appreciate you listening. Love doing this. We have some great information this morning. And before we get started, though, Heidi Cartwright joins us, our own RICP. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. I'm excited for the show today.
And me too. Thanks. Heidi's going to be talking about mortgage rates and whether you ought to have a balance in retirement. Should we pay off our mortgage early? A conversation we have relatively
often.
Often. Relatively often, yes. With clients, you bet. And then joining us, too, Deanne Jennings. Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. It's a pleasure to be back in the studio and to be vertical, as a dear friend used to say.
Yeah.
I had the flu last week, and I am sorry for any listeners that are facing the flu. I empathize with you.
It's not fun. No.
Believe it.
You have the old gang back together here, the original three.
There we go.
And some different combinations the last few weeks.
Yes,
yeah,
we have.
Absolutely. Well, that's great to be here. Deanne Jennings, our Director of Operations and the Detail Meister within our company. Big time. So today, planning for the largest IRA balances ever. This article from Mr. Ed Slott, January 16th. What's going on with that? Well, 12/31/23 saw the highest stock market in history, rounding by the Dow, about 38,000 or so.
Just a few days ago, you're talking about?
Well, yeah.
And a couple
weeks
ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks, 12/31/23. Now,
the stock market, sorry? I was going to say, you can't see on your screen, but it's up 187 now for what it's worth. It's just under 38,000, the Dow.
Yeah, so it's been hovering in that range. So the stock market reached all-time highs in 23 with year-end balances in individual retirement accounts and 401ks hitting the highest ever for many. Now, the actual numbers, just in case you wanted to know, in total retirement accounts, $36.7 trillion. Trillion. That is how many billion? Now, that's 360 billion. I think that's how you say that.
You know, that number is always
crazy,
really
number
in the same neighborhood as our national debt, isn't
We've
it?
We've talked about that. Yes, it's amazing. Well, it's what instills some confidence, in essence, in our economy to pay off, or our ability for our economy to pay that debt or keep it current, given even today's high interest rates. $7.2 trillion in 401ks and $13 trillion then in IRAs. So the balance is in defined benefit plans and or profit sharing plans, SEPs, simple IRAs, the rest of it. Okay.
It's significant.
Yeah, big numbers, big numbers. So the average fee also on 401ks, many don't know that they're paying a fee, varies from 0.2% to 5% of the balance. 0.2 to 5%. Why the wide variance? Well, depends on who's administering the plan, where it's with, generally the size of your company. Larger companies tend to pay lower rates. More money under management tends to engender and or then cause lower fees within those accounts. But all 401ks are subject to fees. Okay? So the stock market reached all-time highs in 2023, the highest ever balances for many, thus causing the need for IRA tax planning moves. And those will open up for many. So you're going to need to think as well as how to allocate it, how those funds you want to grow, what are they for? What do I want this to achieve? Do I want to create larger balances for my children to create problems for them that I didn't have myself, perhaps? You know, they've got taxable income. Perhaps you do want to keep those in IRAs, and we're going to be discussing this, these issues, simply because their incomes will always be lower because of the fields that they've chosen or not chosen to work in. So thinking about not only you, but also the wife or husband, as it were, what are their needs, as well as those that might follow. We've always wanted to adopt children. Maybe we should do that, dear. You know, whatever. Okay. Then next, the result, larger RMDs based on these 2023 balances could mean higher taxes. So, of course, as these balances go up, your required minimum distributions do as well.
Yeah, and another thing to think of, too, is in 2022, the market was down significantly.
Yes.
And so the disparity between the high market and a lower market the year before, people might see a big movement in that RMD number.
Why is your why are you so echoey there? Is there
I'm not sure.
Okay. Seriously, is that something? It just sounded more. Sorry, Heidi. Don't mean to make. It's not your problem. I'm just wondering, you know, are we all here? Hello,
I can
hello.
Try to talk lower, but
no. Okay, I think you're there. Good.
What echo?
So beneficiaries. Moving on with the information. Beneficiaries may see the same thing. Beneficiaries. That's like children generally, of the heirs of mom and dad, as you're inheriting these accounts, and keeping them up to speed on this thing. We've talked about this, but just thinking about it, and often children don't realize what those balances are. Mommy, I didn't know you'd save so much. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. They may be surprised at what you've been able to accomplish, one. Two, they may have very little idea how to handle these things. They may pay much more tax than they really need to because they don't know how to understand or how to look at these things. So do they know who we are, your financial advisor? Do they know? Have they met them, perhaps? Do they know the beneficiaries on the accounts? Have you shared that, yes, I do still love you, my dear. I'm giving you some of the eye, whatever it may be. But do they know the beneficiaries in terms of those accounts? Have you updated those beneficiaries so that they're going to follow what you want to happen? Because as these balances grow, they become more weighty, and it becomes more important for them to be able to know how to handle these things. That's why we recommend beneficiary IRA meetings, where you can bring them in if you like, and help them understand, okay, there's some specific rules to these things as to how you receive them. You cannot commingle a beneficiary IRA with a regular IRA. Well, can I just put it in my own IRA? No. As soon as you do that, you will blow up the whole thing.
And it might all become taxable then.
Yep. So it could be a very
What if you have a beneficiary on one of these accounts? You pass away, and it's you've never notified them that they're a beneficiary. Does the administrator reach out to them and say, guess what, it's your lucky day?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, in essence, it's incumbent upon us to do that.
Okay.
We need to contact them. Hopefully, we have their address, phone number, that sort of thing. And it's really especially helpful if they've met us, because you get this. Nobody likes to think about this. Seriously, just to run down that road, okay, what happens when I die? Who likes to have that conversation? Silence, okay? We get it. But if they've met us or your financial advisor, there's a commonality there. At least they can approach that very difficult time in an easier manner. The estimated taxes may need to be adjusted. So as these accounts have grown, and what I did then was look at what a $1 million IRA balance would require as an RMD at age 73, given today's reality that RMDs must begin at age 73. Trombones led the big parade, yes. Or is that 76? But we'll just call it 73 right now, yeah. So 73, at age 73, a $1 million IRA balance will cause $37,736 to have been distributed. You must take $37,736. If you're 80, $49,505. 90, I'm never going to be 90 years old. You'd be surprised how surprised people are. I don't know how I got to 90, but it happened, you know, that sort of thing. At age 90, almost $82,000. 82 grand. So that can make a difference.
Oh, yeah. You could go live on a cruise ship all year.
My
I think people have tried that.
Jeez.
No, I'll take the fruit with the whipped cream. Thank you very much. So the multiplier, 73 to 90, is about 2.2 times the amount. 37 grand versus 82. Significant difference. That's with the same balance. So you see, what else could change? The tax rates. Mm-hmm. Tax rates could go up. Mm-hmm. So the real amount may be much more painful. The percentage at age 73, 3.7%. At age 90, it's 8.2%, the amount you have to withdraw. So if you do live that long, now the only way that this can change, Ron, is if at age 90 you're married to someone much younger. Younger than 10 years than yourself.
Okay.
Silence in the audience as well on that one.
As you do your financial planning in your 20s and 30s, this is a good thing to think about, right?
I almost spilled my coffee. That was really funny, Ron. Yeah. So you're not getting older. Your RMD percentage is going up, though. You know, that old ad, you're not getting older, you're getting better. But your RMD went up. There you go. So remember, stealth taxes, too. Irma, she's not so nice. And what we're talking about here, the income-related Medicare adjustment, the multiplier there. We're going to be giving a quiz after this. Those who get it all right win what? How about some chocolate caramel, salted caramels from Kilwin's? 1.4 times, $258,000 jointly modified adjusted gross income will cause your Medicare premium to be 1.4 times what it normally would be. Let's just look at these numbers, and thank you, Heidi. She hands this quietly to me. Thank you. At $103,000 or less, filing singly, your total premium Part B would be $174. $206,000 less, $174. Normally, the premium for Medicare, the basic premium at 24 is $174.70 a month.
That's for like Part A?
Part B.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Part A is free, right? Or essentially?
A is free in essence.
Okay.
Yeah.
You paid for it already.
Right, we paid
it's
for
not
it, yeah.
Free.
We paid
right.
in advance. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you for that clarification.
Just like to make that clear.
Nothing is ever free. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Now, the Irma surcharge, if your income is over 206 grand, is 70 bucks a month. Well, by the time you get all the way up to 750,000, it's $419 more.
Mm.
The Irma surcharge Part B. So that makes the premium a total of $600. Compared to any other insurances, still a great value.
When does that kick in, the Irma? What income?
Irma kicks in at income over 206 grand for those filing jointly. For those filing singly, half that amount, 103. That's where that kicks in, that extra almost $70 a month. So beware of that when you're doing Roth conversions. That's a stealth tax. All right, that's what we're referencing here. 7% of Medicare recipients pay the Irma surcharge. 7% of recipients. So what we're talking about there is from 2 years ago as well. The Irma surcharge is added 2 years after your income number, okay? So that would have been then in 24, your Irma surcharge would have been as a result of your income in 2022. All right.
Somebody did text here.
Yes.
If I make it to 90, I'm trading my 81-year-old wife in for a 24-year-old. Good luck with that.
Oh, that's putting a fine point to that.
Yeah. I hope she's not listening.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Number seven. Number seven in my notes, in case those who are keeping track. 2024 Roth conversions. Do you have too much in your IRA? Ideally, the best time to do these conversions is before you are subject to required minimum distributions. Now, remember as well, as a part of this, QCDs, qualified charitable distributions. Well, does my IRA need to be $1 million before I convert to Roth IRAs? No. It could be 100,000. There may be other reasons you want to convert. You want to declare more income today because you're only in the 12% income bracket, tax bracket rather. Given that relatively low tax bracket these days, you want to fill that bracket up. Thank you, Heidi. She comes with the other sheet there. Bam. Thank you. So, married filing jointly. That 12% bracket goes all the way, hold your breath, everyone, $94,000. That 12% bracket is one of the few deals you're getting these days. The few deals, the few discounts, if you will. That tax bracket is extremely low. Having income today may be one of the best values you can get. Well, I should get a job then? Well, you might. How can you increase your income today? There may be other ways in getting a job. Thank you very much. You may decide to do a Roth conversion now. There is no accountant. Well, no. Very few accountants in the land will voluntarily have you paying more tax. So your tax preparers may not be as excited about this as Dennis. All right? But consider the strategy in your long-term financial planning. It could make sense. Paying some money now versus some later. More later, possibly. Especially if tax rates go up, which they are due in 2026. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, depending on what happens in November of 24.
Yeah. So the current tax rates expire in 2025.
They do at the end of 25.
Yeah. And then they just automatically go back to what they were prior to 2017, the Tax and Jobs Act.
Or higher if they opt for
that.
They
can always make them higher. Yeah. And Congress, of course, can always change the game in the middle by just passing different legislation.
Arbitrarily increasing taxes. Now, they've never done that before, but they might do it here, okay? They're already talking about income-related adjustments for those who make more than $400,000. So they're trying to seek about the edges in terms of increasing their income because of the expenses that continue to stay ahead of revenue for the federal government. I see the world's smallest violin playing. Mm-hmm. Yes. So doing the QCD first, when thinking about QCDs before any required minimum distribution is taken, allows the QCD to satisfy the RMD. Now, what the heck is he talking about? That simply means, let's just say your RMD this year is going to be, needs to be, you have to draw $20,000 if you should decide that you want to give anyway $5,000 to your church or to Father Fred or whatever 501c3 organization is worthy, a charity, maybe it's five charities. That is the best money to give, the best. Why? Because if the RMD is taken first, the RMD that satisfies the RMD, and income adjustments are worth about three times more than a deduction. About a deduction aggressively might be worth 30% as a deduction, but an exclusion from income means that there is no income, and that makes it worth about three times the amount. 30 times three, so, you know.
What you're saying, Dennis, is it's better to have something that reduces that top numbers that's excluded from income than maybe to take a write-off on something farther down the tax form, like
This is even if you're itemizing deductions. Your deduction is above. Your deductions are above the standard deduction. Now, I don't know what the standard deduction is today. It's about $25,000 to $30,000, approximately.
25.
So if you're
there we go, Heidi.
Yeah, married filing jointly is $29,200 to be exact.
Wow.
It's high.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
That'll change, too, if this tax law expires.
It will,
and
indeed.
That not only is not high, but it makes it simple for people with simple tax forms.
So I would say this. Never. I think I can say that. Never has tax planning been more important when we're talking these large balances and the ways in which you can use the current system to your advantage legally to exclude income from taxes, again, worth more than three times as much for most taxable income filers, if you will. Okay? So think about that in terms of the QCD. And the QCD limit has gone from 100,000 last point to 105,000 this year in 24. It is now 105 that you could theoretically give to the charity or charities of your choice. Well, I'd never give that much. It might only be 5,000. But for those who have larger IRA balances, that $100,000 may be a gift that you want to give, and bam, excluded completely from income. That value may be worth well more than three times. It may be worth almost four times. We had a question on the text line, did we not?
We have a question on the text-o-matic line. Let's see. It says here, can the QCD be done using a special checkbook issued by the institution holding your IRA? Good question. Because you usually say make sure it goes directly from your institution to the beneficiary group.
Yeah, thank you. It's got the check has to be made payable to the nonprofit. Honestly, I don't. Do you know the answer to that?
Very few people have checkbooks associated with an IRA account. More often we see that with people who have trust accounts or individual or joint accounts. If for some reason they had a checkbook, I would definitely check it out before I wrote that check. Like Dennis said, the money has to go directly from the IRA to the charity. And usually how we do it at our custodian is once a form is authorized that the client wants to do that, then the custodian issues the check and either sends it directly to the charity or will send it to the account owner and they can take it to the charity, but it's made out to the charity.
Well, obviously then their check could be made payable to the charity, but my next question would be, I would check with a custodian, with someone in the know there. I don't know that that's even been posed to the IRS at this point.
Yeah, most people do not have checkbooks on their IRA accounts.
Mm-hmm. Is that form required that you mentioned they fill out, Heidi?
That's for our custodian. Just for requires your, okay. A special form to be filled in, like what is the charity, what's their address, how much they want to do. Because it is a specialized thing, it needs a little more detail.
You bet. Yeah, and then we also provide the tax information to the client at the end of the year as well as what their total QCDs were, because you will not see a 1099 that includes the QCD amount.
Correct.
They simply give you what your total distributions were. So that it's important on the QCD to make certain that you give this information specifically to your tax preparer of the amount that you gave as a QCD. And in terms of making certain that it was done before your required minimum distribution, if you're trying to get it to qualify for that, okay?
Right, and we're working on those for our clients right now, those letters, and they're going out.
Yeah, they're in the process of going out right now. All right, Deanne, stats, please.
Absolutely. Heidi is going to be talking about, should I pay off my mortgage after these stats? So these stats are regarding seniors and mortgages. According to the 2021 survey by American Advisors Group, 73% of seniors said their home is their most valuable asset, and that source is Kiplinger. For many retirees, being free of mortgage payments in time for retirement is becoming a thing of the past. The oldest segment of baby boomers, individuals born between 1946 and 1951, are far less likely to have paid off their mortgage prior to retirement, according to TIAA. And that source is Fortune. A higher percentage of homeowners are retiring with a mortgage than was the case 30 years ago. A recent Harvard University study found that 46% of homeowners between ages 65 and 79 carried a mortgage in 2016, almost twice as many as the 24% of homeowners in this age group who carried a mortgage in 1990. And that source is Kiplinger.
That's
well,
amazing.
That's stunning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 24 to 46%.
Double.
Almost twice as many. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not treated nearly, I think, as negatively as it once was to carry a mortgage, but it's certainly something to take note of, given Heidi's information she'll cover in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
More than 10 million people 65 and older have a mortgage, and that source is LendingTree. Ron, are you feeling lucky today?
Sure.
Got a little quiz for you. So there's three cities that have the largest share of 65 and older homeowners with a mortgage. Do you want to guess one of those cities?
How about New York City?
Oh, close. But we got San Diego, Miami, and Las Vegas.
I was going to say Miami.
Oh, out see? West. It was on the tip of your tongue.
Where the sun shines in the winter.
Yeah. Across these metros, an average of nearly a quarter, 23% of homeowners 65 and older have a mortgage. That's about 5 percentage points higher than the 50 metro average of about 19%. And that source is LendingTree. And on the reverse side, Salt Lake City, Austin, Dallas have the smallest share of 65 and older homeowners with a mortgage. An average of about 14% of homeowners who are 65 and older have a mortgage in these metros. And that source was LendingTree.
14%. Mm-hmm. That's low.
Yeah.
I wonder where Michigan stands in that
I know, I
whole
was
number
curious
tree.
Too.
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, is the rates are really coming down. There was an article this morning about October or so of this year, mortgage rates were about 8% for a 30-year loan. They're down to 6.6% today. The average payments come down by about 15%. If, and we were looking at these numbers earlier, mortgage rates should go, and Fannie Mae is predicting that they're going to hit somewhere in the 5.5% to 6% range here this year. That'll be dynamic. So that'll cut about another 15% or so off the average payment, making it a lot more affordable for many more to enter the market, and possibly those who have been hanging onto their homes with these ridiculously low rates to feel more comfortable moving and or seeing putting their properties on the market. We'll see what the supply is this coming year. Could be interesting. Heidi, next, the mortgage game.
Yeah, so the title of this article that comes to us from U.S. News, should you pay off your mortgage before you retire? And I brought this article because I get this question a lot in meetings. Dennis and I, when we're meeting with people who are in those couple of years before they retire, and you know, you're getting really close, a lot closer you've ever been to paying off that mortgage. Should you do that? Is that a smart financial move? Well, the decision of whether to pay off your mortgage before retirement should hinge on how much you've saved for retirement, how is your cash flow, and how does it look in retirement, and how your investment accounts are performing. What is your portfolio doing? So again, the answer to the question is it depends, and you always have to put it through, like we talk about this a lot, your personal filter or your personal circumstances to see what is best for you. So we're going to talk about a couple of reasons why to pay off your mortgage. Well, economically, it makes a lot of sense. And the people who don't have that mortgage anxiety tend to be happier. And that is an observation of Morgan Hill, who is a founder of a financial firm that they are interviewing in this article. So that is one of the reasons. The next thing is the cash flow that you could save can be important as you age. So you may be able to handle that mortgage in the earlier part of your retirement, but with the extra cash flow that you could have by not having a mortgage, you may be able to save additional funds for some of those costs that come at the later stage of retirement, like long-term care or medical costs and other type of things, having to replace things on your home, roofs, all that sort of things, the wear and tear.
Yeah, those items obviously do need maintenance. What's interesting here, Heidi, is I just, because I brought my handy calculator here, I took a look at what a $2,000 payment is worth in terms of a lump sum value. If you want to pass that asset on, generally the guideline is you want to spend about 4.5% or so of the balance on that account. So at a 4.5% rate, given a $2,000 mortgage amount, you'd need to have a lump sum balance of about $533,000.
That's a lot.
$533,000 at 4.5% will equal about $2,000 a month in terms of income. So think about it not only in terms of what your payment is, what is the lump sum that I need to have to create that income? So think about it from both sides. Charlie Munger said, you know, he always tried to think about reversing the conversation. That was some of his best thinking, he said, and he was a good thinker. Reverse that conversation with yourself, if you will, and or your spouse, if that's applicable. What's this going to mean in terms of a lump sum required to produce this income that we need to pay that, make that payment?
Yes, exactly. And this goes right into the next point that they make is they say don't carry a mortgage just because you have a low interest rate. And what they talk about in this section is what Dennis was just referring to. It's not just the cost of the money, the rate, but it is the amount of that mortgage payment. So you use $2,000, but $5,000. If your mortgage payment is a lot, that income or that amount of that portfolio that has to be dedicated to pay off that debt could be substantial. So it's not just the interest rate. You want to look at the payment as well. How big is it?
Now, another part of that could be simply paying it down it more aggressively versus taking the lump sum. I mean, some of you may be thinking, well, are you advising me then to just take the money right out of my IRA and pay off the mortgage? Not at all, but you may want to advance what you're taking out, especially if you're not paying a penalty on that. You're over the relatively young age of 59.5, so you don't have to pay that penalty, okay? and just advancing that amount that you're drawing out to retire that mortgage could be much more valuable than the lump sum that you have.
Right. And this article agrees with you in the fact that it says don't pay it off if you have to use your retirement savings. Because, like you were talking about, all those stealth taxes that could be involved. I mean, you could affect your Medicare premium and all these other things. So they're saying you want to concentrate if you are going to pay it off. Do you have savings outside of those retirement accounts to pay it off? And can your portfolio handle that and still provide you the income you need?
Yes, it really does come down to the cash flow, the payment itself, and your overall financial situation. Do we have a phone call here, Ron?
We'll go to Bruce is calling in today from Fife Lake. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm wondering what you think of the idea. I had term life insurance, and after 10 years, they wanted more per month than it was for a whole year. Hmm. And I wondered what your advice was in thinking of doing a reverse mortgage if your home is paid off and use that for insurance.
Use your reverse mortgage for insurance. How do you mean?
Without get a reverse mortgage, and then if sometime a problem comes, like I pass away because I got cancer, then my wife has the whole value of the house to work with on the reverse mortgage, and it only costs me $20 a month out of the equity for them to have that. That was cheaper than trying to get other insurance and was a means of working with a reverse mortgage.
Reverse mortgage doesn't have near the negative connotations it once did. And if you're not going to carry a balance on that reverse mortgage, then I think you're alluding to the fact that it costs $20 a month to maintain that mortgage itself for the ability to draw from it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, we just have a little small amount that's on it, and we don't take any draw. We're able to get by.
Okay.
But it made it so that for them taking out like $20 equity, which your home's going up anyway, mm-hmm. but with taking that out, then it left all of the home value for my wife if something happened to me that she would be able to draw on. So,
yeah, that can be significant. I would say I can't give you really a blanket answer, but that's certainly a good possibility. I'll say that on the radio in terms of thinking about her income, her being able to draw, because generally her expenses are going to go up for maintenance and all the rest.
Yes. Right.
So, and you, it sounds like you've already been thinking about that.
Yep, have been, and that just seemed to be the most reasonable way to have provisions for her. So.
Certainly can be. That's good thinking, I think, okay?
All right, and can you tell me, is Vince Halleck still around anymore? He's the one that signed us up years ago. And
he is still around. In fact, I see him about every 2 or 3 weeks, so you bet he is.
Is he still doing reverse mortgages then?
Yes, he is. You bet.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Bruce.
You bet.
In Fife Lake.
All right. Interesting question.
Yeah. Yes. Very interesting.
You bet. Mm-hmm.
So going back to our mortgage questions, another reason not to pay off your mortgage is if you have other higher interest debt, if you have some consumer debt, or you have credit cards or credit card loans, you don't want to pay off your mortgage in lieu of doing that. You want to look at the highest interest rate, get that paid off as soon as possible. So don't, do one thing and leave the worse debt out there that has the higher interest rate. So you just want to take a look at your whole picture before you decide to go that way. And then the article continues with a couple of strategies if you do want to reduce your mortgage or if you want to pay it off quicker. And one is a strategy, but you have to make sure with your lender that it's okay. But they recommend paying half of your mortgage at the beginning of the month and half at the end of the month. So splitting into two mortgage payments. By doing that, you'll make 13 payments if you do it every other week. You'll pay 13 monthly payments instead of the 12. And it's just a different way to accelerate the payment of the mortgage.
Yeah. Pay attention to any costs that might be related to that. Sometimes the administrators will charge extra for that, and or you may decide to simply make that extra payment yourself during the year. which can make a huge difference, and or just add to the amount yourself on a monthly basis to equal that 13 payments.
And another strategy is you might want to downsize. If you have a large home and you really don't need that space anymore, you might be able to get rid of your mortgage by selling your current home and using the proceeds to buy something smaller. But of course, again, you have to do your research and make sure that it's going to work out that you can buy that second home with the net amount that you receive.
Yeah, we're used to much bigger than we used to be. I think it's interesting. There was a small pickup that went by the office this morning, and I didn't even recognize, you know, what kind of a vehicle is that? It looks so tiny. Well, it was a Toyota Tacoma, an older one, and it's amazing how much bigger they are these days.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We've got the husky version versus the thin version so long ago.
Well, if I can jump in too, speaking of downsizing, we have a Lunch and Learn coming up, and it's February 21st. That's Wednesday, 12 to 1. It's entitled Downsizing for Upscale Living with Holly Hack. Ah. So Holly Hack from Exit Realty will be discussing Northern Michigan real estate climate, and possibly if you're thinking about downsizing, this would be a great opportunity for you. And that's in our Learning Center, our Lunch and Learn, Wednesday, February 21st from 12 to 1.
Yeah, you can come and ask questions to your own situation and take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Man, that is great timing for that class coming up. It's
really
February 21st, you said?
Yeah, February 21st.
On Wednesday.
On a Wednesday.
From noon to 1, and we serve lunch and all the rest. There is no cost for that class. It's exactly 1 hour long. Mm-hmm. At Downsizing for Upscale Living. Holly Hack's going to be teaching what's going on in the markets. What are the advantages and disadvantages of that? She is putting this class together. I think you'll find it extremely helpful in the Learning Center. We've got room for about 23, 24 individuals to fit into that classroom.
Register ahead of time?
You bet. Yes. They'll need to register. The phone number 231-947-3992, 947-3992. And then March 20th, Bob Simpson's coming by and talking about Social Security, March 20th. That one is going to fill up, I would almost certainly guarantee. You may want to sign up the same time for both classes, February 21st and March 20th at our Learning Center there, right there at Prout.
We had a text there, too. Somebody wanted a clarification. I think you referenced making extra payments on your mortgage, and you have to do that whenever every 2 weeks?
Every two weeks. Not just twice a month. Okay. Every 2 weeks to
Correct.
Make that work. Because Correct. Then that's how you'll get the extra two payments in
to make up that 13th total payment.
Yeah, 13th payment that would have otherwise been paid. So we have another minute or so here, Ron. Final information on that larger IRA notes here that I had. Beneficiaries cannot convert a beneficiary IRA to a Roth, but a quirk in the tax code would allow a 401k inherited IRA, or rather a 401k inherited account, to be converted to an inherited Roth IRA. So there's some quirks there that one needs to make note of, and especially when you're inheriting these accounts. What are my options? What are the yeses and what are the nos in terms of what I might accomplish through those accounts, and how can I best handle those assets for myself and or for those who are following after? Our phone number, 231-947-3992.
All right, that wraps it up. Another version, as Rush used to say, in the can, going down to the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Not bad.
Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Thank you, Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Deanne Jennings.
Thank you, Ron Jolly.
Thank you,
great
Ron.
Day.
Thank you, Ron.